Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 189. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Oh, having a fantastic night.
Are we? We're toddless tonight.
Yep,
not.
We're toddless again.
Topless, but we're toddless.
Mm-hmm.
But his seat has a butt over in there. I'm sorry. I didn't know how to. That didn't come out right. There is a person in his seat, not just a butt.
A warm body.
It is a warm body. This is the Pete Peterson, right?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. I really messed that up today. Let's start that all over again. That's good. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. No problem at all, man.
Yep, in Todd's absence, we'll gladly have you in here.
It's always a pleasure.
That's right.
Good times.
The show goes on, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always nice having three voices.
It is, and it's better than the alternative where you have just Nate doing it, and we have threatened that before, right? Nate, just do the show. You're good. Just whatever you want to do.
I'm feeling sick.
Nate's like, I'm not doing it, man. Just do like intermission music or whatever yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have found that we can always bring back an oldie but a goodie when we need to. We haven't mm-hmm. had to do that too many times, but we've done it a couple times.
Yep.
So this is our mini?
Yes, it is.
All right.
So let's keep it short, sweet, and mini.
Mini. Okay, I will. So you're saying let's get right to the point, right?
Yep.
Okay, so tonight's topic is brought to us by Nate's brain, or the brain of Nate, right? And it is the Haunted Driscoll Hotel in Austin, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Pete? Deep in the heart of Texas, right?
Yes, deep in the heart of Texas.
And if interested, please go check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Yes, very true.
Do you want to do the foundation, or you want me to do mine?
I can.
That's up to you.
I can read these couple paragraphs, I suppose, just to know the story of the Driscoll. The Driscoll Hotel is on the National Registry. Was built in 1886. The Romanesque Revival structure was founded with what would. Man, why do they always put these big words?
You know why.
Let's just say it was founded with blood money. I'm going to skip some words. This this isn't hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
Or hyperbole. Why?
You
that's
did.
Not how that's spelt. This
you teed that one up for me, didn't you?
This isn't your hyperactive spiritual guru trying to add a little frizzin'. I don't know what that means either, to the whole affair. What does that mean, Sean?
No idea.
No idea.
Frizzin?
Frizzin.
Frizzin.
Frizzin, frazzin.
Frizzin pan is part of like a flintlock rifle.
This is
like where you pour the powder.
An actual fact. Okay, so the hotel was commissioned and paid by its namesake, Jesse Driscoll. Jesse was a successful cattle baron. Who had, why can't they just say cattle farmer? Why is he a baron?
I don't know.
His
land could have been baron too, but yeah.
Some kind of Texas royalty.
Who had moved to Texas from Missouri with his eye for making mucho dough.
It's Missouri, but yeah. Okay.
Missouri, okay. think Tony Stark without the redemption arc and the Avengers. Why Tony? Because Jesse was a warmonger. The spunky entrepreneur, a self-made beef baron, broke the bank when he started selling his cattle to the Confederate Army. After the Civil War went kaput and the South decided to call it quits, Jesse looked at his kingdom and realized he was the Scrooge McDuck rich. The bloody clash... Words. The bloody clash had flushed him with bank vaults full of money. And in a couple of years, he became one of the richest men in the state. What do barons do? Ooh, they're going to tell us now. They diversify their portfolio. Jesse went and did the Trump Fandango. He got himself a hotel, which is Driscoll Hotel. Whoever wrote this.
They did it just for you. Brought to you by Nate. This is awesome. Yeah.
Continuity check on that writing.
What would happen if you got something that didn't have anything difficult in it? It just wouldn't be the same.
I don't know. Yeah,
So he was known.
They used their words. They definitely used their words.
This old Driscoll, he would sell cattle to the Confederate Army, so he was seen kind of as not the greatest guy, right, or the way he made his money. And then he actually lost this hotel in a poker game or a card game anyway.
Well,
like,
you know, that happens.
Like, I bet you this hotel of mine. Oops, and he lost. So it's like he must have had Scrooge McDuck money.
Got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him.
That's right. It's funny because so it says this was a host. There's a host of politicians. From its very first days, the Driscoll became the go-to hotel for politicians. Less than 2 weeks after the hotel originally opened, it hosted the inaugural ball for Governor Sol Ross. After that, holding the inaugural ball at the Driscoll would become a tradition. I think they said George Bush basically did his, like when they were doing, you know, counting the vote or whatever, he like had a, you know, his, you know, anticipation party or whatever, okay. You know, at the Driscoll. In addition to governors, the Driscoll was a favorite of President Lyndon B. Johnson. Years before his presidency, he had his first date there with his future wife, Lady Bird Johnson. They also have a Lady Bird drink there, too. I don't know if it's called the Flaming Bird or some other. I don't know. I wonder what's in the Lady Bird. I probably don't want to know that. So he had their first date in 1934. 30 years later, Johnson would use the Driscoll as his campaign headquarters for the night of the 1964 election. After his presidency, Johnson continued to frequent the Driscoll, even putting a permanent reserve on the governor's suite. And he and Lady Bird are still spotted there, so they feel like this is one of their, you know, you'd think that you'd see him at the White House or all these other places, you know, but they see him at the Driscoll. I personally have never heard of this place before, so
neither have I.
I'm not super familiar with Austin except for that's where Joe Rogan is at, and you know, so I do want to visit there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Be invited to the ranch, right?
It's very I don't know if artsy is the right word, but yeah, it's sort of that culture. A lot of arts,
you've been
music.
There? Have you been in Austin?
No, I have not been to Austin. It'd be
but
cool.
But you listen to Rogan.
Well, I've seen stuff about Austin.
I think the motto of the town is "Keep Austin Weird."
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of live music.
It's not stereotypical Texas.
Yeah,
we are perfect, right?
It has
it's blue in a red state, isn't it? And that what it's seen as kind of like a progressive city. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it has a lot of live music, band stuff. It has comedy shows. It has, I think it has like a street art type stuff, like areas and murals on buildings and yep.
It looks cool. I mean, I got a lot of pictures of it. It does look. It's eclectic. I mean, I think that's a pretty good way to say it. But I'd love to go there. I'd like to go to... I've never been to Texas, so I'd like to go just about anywhere in Texas, but I'd definitely visit Austin.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, this place is haunted.
No!
Yes.
Not by Driscoll,
though. Sort of why we're...
why we're covering it.
Covering it, yeah. Anybody want to start?
Of course, Colonel Jesse Driscoll is one of the most common... apparition. So it says he is one of the most encountered entities. Driscoll died in 1890, giving him a little time to enjoy the hotel he had cherished. That and he lost it in a poker game, right? Which could be why his spirit lingers. Driscoll was known to always have a cigar in hand, and multiple people have reported the smell of cigar smoke in the lobby, despite the hotel becoming smoke-free years ago. One staff member tried to find the source of the cigar smell and heard a voice behind him asking for a match, but no one was there. The employee already quit after this incident. Of course he did. It says another spirit reported by staff and guests is that of Peter Lawless. Lawless lived in the Driscoll for over 30 years before he died in 1917, and housekeeping staff have felt a tingling sensation in Lawless's old room. Guests also saw a man matching his description get off the elevator before fading into thin air.
I guess somebody has a first account eyewitness of Colonel Driscoll.
Yeah.
One of the most favorite stories is one of the few sightings we've had of Colonel Driscoll. One of his favorite rooms in the Driscoll overlooks 6th Street and Brazos. And there was a consultant in town who woke up one night to see a gentleman standing in his room, looking out the window about 3 o'clock in the morning, puffing on a cigar. He sat up in bed and said, "Hey, fella, what the hell are you doing in my room?"
About what I'd say, right?
He said the guy looked at him and gave him this look like, "Your room?" But he didn't say anything. The consultant leaned over and snapped on the light by the bed, and when the light came on, there was no one standing by the window, but the curtains were still swaying, and there was a cloud of cigar smoke in the air.
Hmm. Gone.
Poof, poof.
Like Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Yeah, it's got some spookiness to it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you got any good ones, Pete?
Yeah, I think I see this with I feel like I've heard this with a lot of haunted hotels. There's always the jilted lovers, some mm-hmm. kind of story with jilted lovers. The two jilted lovers, separated by a century of history, roam the Driscoll's halls. Like Stephen King's infamous room 217 in The Shining, the Driscoll has its own haunted suite where tragedy keeps repeating itself. Little is known about the first dead bride, a sort of ancillary ghost peppered in for flavor. The only thing confirmed is that she killed herself in room 525 after her fiancé called off the wedding, and that she mournfully walks the halls in her Victorian gown. So also an offshoot of The Lady in White,
mm-hmm.
or a long Victorian gown. The second bride is the more famous one, in part because she's a rare Gen X ghost who died in 1991, yet she still fits the trope of a young and beautiful woman who meet their terrible end. A Houston socialite who escaped to the hotel after being jilted at the altar, she went on a massive shopping spree with her lover's purloined credit card and was last seen carrying several bags into room 525. Later that night, while sitting in the bathtub, the bride put a gun in one hand and a pillow in the other and shot herself. Since then, Driscoll guests have claimed to see her carrying her packages or a pistol down the hall before she vanishes into room 525 without ever opening the door.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
I heard on one of the videos they were talking about, like, the doors are so wide that you could get a bull and his horns through, which
that's
I thought was kind of cool.
Crazy.
And the opening of the atrium or the, you know, the main area that you go into in the hotel, it's ginormous. And in the early 1900s, the girl that was the tour guide was saying that her grandfather it was so massive that he rode an elephant through it.
Wild.
And then that wild. Yeah. So in the entryway there. And, she said that's kind of like family, history for her. And I thought that was really cool. So she said she mentioned that in their interview when she, you know, hired on there, and they're like, how can we not hire her? You know, like this is a history here. But I thought that was pretty wild. But they said, so there's an unidentified ghost of a cowboy who has appeared to multiple female musicians. Singer Annie Lennox claimed that she came out of the bathroom after getting ready for a concert and saw the cowboy examining the outfit she planned to wear that night. Jonette Napolitano of Concrete Blonde also saw the cowboy in her room one night while staying at the hotel. The incident had such a profound effect on Napolitano that she wrote the song Ghost of Texas, Ladies Man, to commemorate, if I can say it, the event.
Who would have thunk it?
Not me.
Another of the ghosts said to haunt the Driscoll is that of a child who died after plummeting to his death down a flight of stairs.
It was a girl.
Horrible.
It was a girl, though, right? Does it say a boy?
I don't know.
I think it was a little girl.
The kid. Yeah, they're not mentioning.
She's a 4-year-old little girl, Samantha Houston.
Okay. The kid made a grab for his... Well, this is saying it's a boy.
Oh, maybe it
was
more
than
one.
Kid
yeah.
made a grab for going. His bouncy ball and overreached. Paranormal investigators have managed to catch the faint sound of a ball ping-ponging against the wall while a mischievous voice giggles.
Yeah, and I heard that. So, and who knows? So there's a painting of a girl, and it's supposed to be haunted. It's a very famous painting there, and it's supposed to be this little girl who's 4 years old. It says the ghost of a young girl had been reported that near the Driscoll's Grand Staircase. 4-year-old Samantha Houston was the daughter of a Texas senator visiting the hotel. So it could have been just two different kids.
Yeah, this is talking about that too. The one I read is titled The Child, and then the one you're referencing is The Painting.
Yeah. And so, but this says that she tripped on the stairs going after a ball on the Grand Staircase, falling to her death. Since then, there have been reports of a child giggling and the sound of a ball being bounced near the stairs. They said she's very gregarious and kind of playful and ornery, but they said she would be a 4-year-old little girl. And then obviously, if it's a, there's a little boy there too, they're probably making all kind of mischief, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says... Yeah, the artwork is unnamed, but it's based on a painting by Charles Garland called Love Letter.
Because she's holding a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, cute girl. Depicts, very expressive eyes.
Depicts a little girl holding a bouquet of flowers in one hand and a letter in the other. Yeah.
I assume her eyes follow you if you walk past the painting.
They say, and they're, it's... It's a really the beautiful.
Painting, yeah, the painting is said to be haunted. Unnerving.
Yeah,
and people who stroll by it constantly feel the presence of something sinister riding their coattails until they vacate the cursed building.
It says that young children visiting the Driscoll have told their parents they played with this little girl named Samantha, even though no other children were around. Even stranger are the reports of people communicating with Samantha through, it says Samantha, through her portrait hanging near the Grand Staircase. Some say they have even seen her expression change in that painting.
Oh, creepy.
So, yeah, this place...
it's haunted, isn't it? Yeah.
It's haunted.
I love it. It looks really cool. There are also, I saw some pictures, and I can't remember exactly. There's some, as an artist, this is not a haunting thing. But it was a couple different paintings that are there, and it is the artist who likes to put herself in her own work. So, looks like a very beautiful woman. But she also makes herself look a little bit ghostly. And you look at her hands, they said they're a little bit wavy and almost like wispy, like she's kind of ghostly. So they said that's but she does that, it seems like, on purpose,
right,
as I understand it. So I can't remember her name and all that kind of stuff, but I remember they were showing it on one of the tour things. And I was like, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, in one of those paintings, it has this little girl kind of over the shoulder of a guy. And I think it's supposed to be that Samantha ghost. And so they're like, she's almost like, you know, part of that painting. But it was, it's intentional, but it's also like, you know, she's revered there, too, as one of the permanent residents there.
And it, when Nate was talking about the building being cursed, I mean, it's gone through, ever since Driscoll lost it in the poker game, it had gone through several different owners. I think it probably around 4 to 6 dozen. Just so, who knows? I mean, just no luck. And everybody that bought it swore, oh, we can make this happen. We're going to dress it up. We're going to renovate it. And it's going to stay a landmark. And couldn't do it. Okay, next person. So it begs the question, does it have some kind of curse on it? The curse of no success. But now it's still there. It's a historic landmark. Yeah. So it got saved.
That street that it's on is supposed to be kind of a rough part of Austin, as I understand from some of these videos. But they said that when you're there, you feel like you're stepping back in time, and it feels like a very safe location. So this particular girl, one of the girls that was had taken a tour and was talking about the history of it, she said she was a little bit taken aback where it was at. But then when she got there, she said, totally a safe place, and she would recommend people stay there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about it being in like a bad part of Austin. Like, who, you know, I'm sure there's a bad part of every city, but yeah, she gave it, you know, pretty high marks. So
apparently to this day, people recount tales of stumbling into the ballroom and catching the reflection of the late president and his adoring wife on the mirrors or out of the corner of their eyes.
Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon B. Johnson and Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Just grab yourself a Lady Bird drink and watch the ghost, right? The specters. It depends on how many of those Lady Birds you've had, probably, how many ghosts
see
you've
a lot
seen,
more ghosts.
This is crazy. I love it. Give me another Lady Bird.
They're everywhere.
It says Austin is a pretty haunted place anyway. The legacy of Driscoll Hotel is woven into the fabric of Austin's history. And while the hotel has undergone many changes over the years and owners, it sounds like, its active spirits ensure that Driscoll's hotel's past will always be remembered. Which is pretty cool. It does look like a step back in history, though.
And at one point, they added like a large addition behind it that, from the pictures I saw, it didn't match the original exterior. They did the best they could, but it was a modern or somewhat modern addition. But it's, I think it's still part of the building.
Mm-hmm. It was built, intentionally or unintentionally, on haunted land, and I don't know what that means exactly. I assume that means some kind of burial grave, you know, burial ground, Indian burial ground, battlefield, who knows what, you know, like I said, if it's got the Confederate type, you know, history as well. So who knows?
I don't know if this is the concoction that they serve there called the Lady Bird. Let's see.
Oh, you're going to tell us what's in it?
Yeah.
Quadruple shots of vodka, bro.
Well, it says the ingredients right now is half an ounce of Blanco tequila, half an ounce of beef eater, so dry gin, half an ounce of Crazy Monkey vodka, half an ounce of Bacardi white rum, half an ounce of Guinness Blue
Curacao.
Or Curacao, yeah. I always forget how to say that. Half an ounce of grenadine syrup, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 1 ounce of orange juice, and 1 ounce of freshly lime juice. So, yeah, that's probably relatively tasty.
That sounds like it.
A lot of flavors.
This is interesting. So they, it talks about the haunted grounds a little bit more. So I did find that. It says, before Sixth Street existed, this arid part of the state belonged to the Native American tribes. Mm. There we go. Who inhabited the area. According to local legend, one of the most culturally essential springs sat where you can find Sixth and Brazos Street today. Or Brazos, however. Much like this one, the Driscoll was erected upon. The artesian well was considered hallowed ground. The Apache Takawas and the Comanche all treated the artesian well as one of the most sacred places within their respected cultures. Each believed that the water had the ability to contain both willing and unwilling spirits. Ooh, well, there we go. Six and Brazos function as the apex of the various streams that ran through this part of central Texas, perhaps explaining the hotel's hauntings. Oh. Says the, this is interesting. The history is on July 4th, 1885, the first cornerstone was laid at the hotel. Remember that artesian well? That was the reason, number one, as to why the colonel decided that the Driscoll Hotel should be built at Six and Brazos. He believed that constructing a hotel on top would provide a hotel's water supply for many, many years to come. More importantly, the Driscoll was convinced that Sixth Street was on the verge of a revival period. This is easy enough for Driscoll since he was behind the revitalization efforts. Like, we're going places, people.
We will make this happen.
So that's pretty awesome.
I did find two other drinks on their menu. One is called The Jesse.
That's awesome.
With Uncle Nearest 1884 Small Batch Whiskey by and Hella Cocktail Company Smoked Chili Bitters. And there's actually one called Samantha's Ghost. Union Mezcal. I should have given this to you, Nate.
It's a Nate one.
El Tacualeno Tequila, Grand Marnier, and Lemon. So they do take their... They do give some credence to their specters that live there and name drinks after them and their former owner. The Corpse Reviver is another one. Interesting.
There is plenty of goodness then at the bar. Is that what they're saying? I was saying, did you say that the bride that spent so much money was up to $40,000 tab?
Yeah, that's the one that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Her fiance called it off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, give me your card. See you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Jesse is a old-fashioned.
Oh, old-fashioned's good, yeah.
Appropriate.
Texas Revolver. Okay, so their actual Lady Bird is $17 for one thing.
Holy cow! I might have a quarter of one then, right?
You're going to have to use all your zeros, Nate, to buy that.
Exactly, right?
Cash them in. the way they make theirs is a Malibu coconut rum, Tito's vodka, cranberry juice, pineapple juice, and lime juice.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It does sound really good.
$17 worth?
That's pretty wild. is that what we have to look forward to in Austin? This says, with 189 guest rooms, this Austin hotel has been made a member of the Historic Hotels of America. It remains one of the nation's most opulent hotels. Located at 604 Brazos Street, the Driscoll Hotel is the oldest operating hotel in Austin. It says you can book a room and have a potentially haunted room. Mm. So, like, mm-hmm. I think you can have a lot of hauntings yeah. there. It doesn't just have to be the room. You can just probably go to the bar. You can go to the grand entrance. You can go to all kind of places. You can go to the painting, right?
Yep.
Go to the staircase.
You guys have anything else? If we keep on going, this is going to be a full.
It's going to be a full. Exactly. So, are we going?
I do not have anything else.
You don't have anything else? No, are we going to visit?
Oh, heck yeah.
That's definitely.
So that's a for sure. Mm-hmm. However many hours away that would be, who knows, right?
Oh, yeah.
15, 20 hours, yeah, who knows? I don't know how far.
Texas far away.
That's a whole other scale.
Come for the ghosts, stay for the drinks.
That's exactly. Right. Somebody else pays for them, though, right? Well, cool. I hope you, we enjoyed talking about that. I hope mm-hmm. you all enjoyed it. Nate, do you have anything for us to help us out of here?
How can you tell if a bird is a ladybird?
She cost $17?
I don't know, but that's a wrap.
Oh, good stuff. That's a great way to take us out of here. We want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini 189 and our discussion on the Driscoll Hotel. Until next time, see ya.
Later.
See ya.